Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you tonight. Welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise God. I tell you what, we are always thankful for the opportunity to be in the presence of God. Amen. And we love it when we get the opportunity to come together and to worship Him. I thank God that the Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, He's right there in the midst of us. Amen. So we can be assured He's here tonight, and we can be assured that He's going to touch our lives, and we're thankful for what He has in store for us in this service tonight. So let's just join together and worship God. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father.
Your faithfulness and our rest.
Hallelujah.
Jesus in the darkness over there. being alone. Jesus for my family, I'll speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the dark, sober every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the dark, sober every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from
in your presence.
lift you up and we exalt you. We love you, Father. We just thank you and praise you. You're worthy. You're worthy. Father, we thank you. We exalt you.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Our God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to remind you that we do have the marriage seminar coming up here, and that's going to be next Friday, the 31st. And we're going to start at 6 p.m., so we want as many to come out as possible. So if you've been married a long time, come out. If you've been married just a little while, come out. If you plan on getting married, you need to come out. Amen? And the Lord will bless you, and it'll be a good time, and we're just going to have a great time together. And then I also want to remind you that this Sunday, we are having our celebration dinner together. As we celebrate with Jared and Linda and family, and we just appreciate you guys all being here for that. And it is a carry-in dinner, so you're allowed to bring in any dish that you would like to bring in, and we look forward to enjoying and having that experience. Amen? And God is good. Hallelujah. So at this time, praise God, we're going to go ahead and let those children go to children's church. Hallelujah. And let them get into what they're going to do tonight. And that'll be a blessing. Praise God. And in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and get ready for our offering, which we're going to take up here. And we're going to share a little scripture. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I just want to share with you what it says here. And it says in verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Amen? Amen. And so tonight, we want to make sure that we purpose in our heart to be bountiful sowers, amen? And we want to make sure that we are givers, and we want to make sure that we follow the word of God in this area so that we can see his touch on our life, amen? And tonight I just want to encourage you, though, that if we're going to sow and we're going to reap, let's make sure that we're sowing those things that are worthy and that are great, amen? And so I know we're taking up offering, but just for a minute here, I want to make sure that we sow mercy and forgiveness and those things that we can sow friendship and loving kindness into people's lives. Amen? So tonight, we just want to take up this time to give your offering tonight and do it with a cheerful heart and be a great giver. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity tonight to give. And Father, we pray that we would do it cheerfully, Father, and that we would do it purposely in our heart, God, purposefully purposing to be givers. Amen. And Father, I just thank you for your blessing upon your people and your touch on their lives. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Bring your offerings to the front. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. I tell you what, We are so thankful tonight to be together, and I'm especially thankful that Pastor Dosik is here with us tonight. Amen. And that he's going to bring a word that's going to touch our lives, and he's going to minister to us according to what God has given him for us tonight. And we're so thankful that he gets to join us, and we're just thankful to be here. And so with no further ado, I'm going to have our pastor come up here, praise God, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. All righty. Well, I got about 15 messages in my head, so maybe we ought to just order pizza before we get started. And hallelujah. No, let's turn our Bibles to Acts, the fourth chapter. Acts, the fourth chapter. I want to talk to you tonight about staying filled. People can get drained of joy. They can get drained of power. They can get drained of expectancy. They can get drained of, you know, all types of things in their life. And the Holy Ghost is the heart and the root of those things. Our joy is in the Lord. Our joy is in the Holy Ghost. Our power comes from Him. And so we must keep that connection fresh. Amen? And in Acts, the fourth chapter, we have a story about the disciples that had been under persecution. And they have let them go, and they have put them out and told them and forbid that they would preach, not preach in the name of Jesus Christ. How could you be a disciple and not tell of the goodness of God? And so in verse 31, after they had come back and they were rejoicing and all this type of stuff, it says in, let's go in 29, I'm sorry. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now notice that they said that, God, we want to speak the word. We want to be bold. But God, it has to be you as our source that causes us to do so. And then he says this, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And great power was given to the apostles to bear witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was up on them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land and of houses sold them and brought the price of those things that were sold. Now that was a miracle in itself. Amen. Get people's hands off of what God gave them. Now, when I look at that passage of Scripture, did anybody notice that it said, and they were filled? They were filled. Well, let's go over to Acts 2. Acts 2, and let's look at verse 1. We're going to read from 1 down through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were filled on the day of Pentecost. Two chapters later, they get refilled. Can people lose their infilling, its influence on their life, the power that comes with it, the joy that comes with it, the ability to have intimacy with God, to be led of the Lord? Can they lose that? Or can the filling that they once received dwindle because of the pressures of the enemy? Absolutely. If they were refilled, then we have to understand that there's something that drains the Holy Ghost and his byproducts of his presence that can be drained from our life. The funny thing about Christians is they can be full and 3 weeks later be empty and not even know that they've been drained. Yeah, it's amazing to me that people can be so mindless of such a great gift. Now, you know when you get it, you just don't know when it goes. Because we don't pay attention. Because we don't use his presence every day. You know, I've met Christians that haven't prayed in the Holy Ghost for a month, 2 months, 3 months. I think, well, you just need to get resaved. Well, do I have to pray in the Holy Ghost? Do you have to? What in the world kind of question do you have to? No, you don't have to. You walk around like a sepulcher with no life in you, no voice, no joy, no bubbling up, no being filled with the wine of God. Yes, you absolutely can. Well, you know what? Lots of Christians get themselves to the point because of weariness. You know, just getting familiar with church, with believers, with God, with your gift, you can get weary and you can get confrontational because of being familiar. You remember what Peter did when he got familiar with Jesus. He rebuked him. He said, oh, no, don't let it come up on you. You aren't going to die. Hallelujah. You're going to let... Jesus said, Peter, you devil. Now, that ought to tell you, when you get contentious about things of God because of your attitude and your spiritual levels of being filled, you can absolutely become the enemy of God's plan. Now, I didn't say that. That was written thousands of years ago. But I'm just bringing it to your attention. So we can, because of the tribulation, because of the threats that people do, rejection from the world, rejection from, you know, of people that we used to walk with, our workforces and all that, that can cause pressure on us that causes us to be drained from the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, if they were not drained or had lost, it would have been futile for them to be filled because it wouldn't have done any good. It just ran out. It would have just ran out. There's only so much you can put into a bottle. And if you drink it, you got to start putting something back. See, Christians are notorious for drawing things from God, but never investing anything back into God. Yeah, Christians are notorious for wanting to do what God wants them to do and never doing it. Hello. That's everybody in the church. Go ye into all the world. If I ask for a raise of hands today, None of you have been out there on the streets witnessing to anybody, and you've been agitated with half the people you came in contact with. The ultimate Christian witness. Show them how to get to heaven. Yeah. Now, I'm not dogging you. It's an observation. Not only is it an observation, it's something that I've contended with, had to come through and fight, and now drawn boundaries around my life that I will not allow those things to happen again. Because when you get unfilled, you just are not prepared to go to the world. Jesus told the disciples, you go and you tarry in an upper room until you be endued with power. Amen? Some people, when they get low on the Holy Ghost, get lazy. Get lazy. You know, you got kids? You got kids? Oh, okay, you got kids? They get tired. They get grumpy. They get grumpy. They get disobedient. They get mouthy. You know, if you don't want to meet your words in tomorrow, you better shut up right now, because I want to catapult you into the future, and you're going to end up with scars that you did not leave this moment with. That's just me paraphrasing the thoughts of every parent. Now, you know what? When Christians get tired, we do the very same thing. Happy Christians are non-complaining Christians. Now, Philip, I'm not preaching this to get your church in order. This is the one that came to my mind, and I'm preaching what come to my mind. Hallelujah. Won't you be glad when me and my mind leave? That's great. But what we do is we don't recognize the characteristics. When we were a child, we were blind to them. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I grew up, I was supposed to act like an adult. But when we as Christians grow up, sometimes we are just as childish and unaware of what is taking place in our life as we were when we were children. Are you married? Did you argue with your wife in the last month? Oh, yeah. Hey, hallelujah. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, God's in charge. I said, really? Where was it last week when you and your wife got in a fight? He said, well, I said, God's not in charge. Nobody can control you except you. Amen? Just can't do it. And so we come together, and if we don't keep ourselves filled, even life itself drains the human spirit. Life itself can wear on you. Amen? Can just wear on you. But we as Christians have to be smarter than the things that the devil is using to destroy us. Now, whose job is it to be filled? Well, one thing I notice is that God didn't tell the disciples, pray, you're empty. You ought to know it. Do you know when your bladder is empty? Well, then you ought to know when your spirit is empty. Right? But what happens is we just nonchalantly think if God wants it done, it's going to get done. If I need it done, well, it'll get done. If I just did it, everything is thrown over on God. Really, let me say this to you. Your spiritual life is not up to God. It's up to you. You work out your own salvation. God don't beat it into you. And God doesn't change everything to make life a utopia so that you can float through it like a butterfly. life can be hard. It is a battlefield. And the prize that is in it is either your eternal life or the prize that is stolen is your eternal life. It's up to you to work out your own salvation. You know, you meet people that have backslid. I just wasn't getting anything at church. It's not my job to make sure you get anything from church. It's my job to throw it out to you, and you just like a chicken got to peck through it and get something. And every church is the same way. You know, one time people come in, oh man, I'll tell you, I'm just growing in leaps and bounds, and 2 weeks later they're in a bad mood and they aren't getting fed and they're leaving the church. Lady told me, said a couple of weeks ago, so Pastor, I haven't been getting fed here for years. I said, well, we've been noticing that you was a dud for years. Why haven't you left? Now, I encourage her, get up and get out. You know, how long does it take? I wouldn't say this to my church, but you guys are never going to say, how long does it take to be an idiot before you realize there's nothing on your plate? Or whatever you're eating with is not making it to your lips. It wouldn't take me very long. First time Phyllis made me a meal, I realized she is not going to feed me. I'm going to eat out all of my life. And most of the time I do. Why? Because when I got up on my wedding morning, she was standing right there in her gown. And she, I said, are you going to fix breakfast? She said, I don't know how to cook. I looked at her in that gown and I said, it don't mean a thing. It's not relevant for the moment. It's still not relevant. I can just walk towards the phone and it'll start dialing. It knows what it's got to do for me to live. We got to feed this guy. Now, you can get empty. Notice that they realized that they needed something because just from the time, two chapters before, they had lost their edge. They had lost their edge. They realized that fear could come in. Realized we could lose our boldness. And they even said this, stretch forth your hands and do signs and wonders. That tells me that when you aren't filled, probably you'll not see signs and wonders. Now, the Bible tells us how to be filled. How to be filled. So there is one baptism. That means that you are baptized into the body of Christ. One time, Ephesians, the fourth chapter. That is the baptism that John said that Jesus would do. He said, I baptize you because of your repentance with water. But there is one coming that when you repent under his dispensation, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now that doesn't have to do with being filled. I know you think, oh yes it does. No, it doesn't. It has to do with repentance. It has to do with when you repent of your sins that the Holy Ghost comes upon you just like it did in the upper room. It filled the room. If you filled a glass with water, what would you do with everything that was in it? You would baptize it. You would submerge it. And if you had a piece of cotton in there, the cotton would be wet. It'd be something that it had not been before being baptized. Is that right? Absolutely. So when we repent of our sins, Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. That means he submerges us. And when he is done submerging us, with the Holy Ghost, we are new creatures. Now, we don't get filled with the Holy Ghost at that time. What we do at that time is become sons and daughters. We don't cry in tongues. We cry, Abba, Father. Right? Yes. All right. And then when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are baptized into Christ, baptized into his body. So that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then that tells you that now you are a candidate to receive the Holy Ghost. Now let's go to, we'll come back here, but let's go to Luke, the 11th chapter. Luke, the 11th chapter. If I'm right, I'll be happy. If not, I'll ask you to help me find where I am. Luke, the 11th chapter. Philip, Regina, help me find that if you are of your father. Ah, there it is, I believe. Let's go to Luke 11 and verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Of course, the answer is no. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? No. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give offer him a scorpion? And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly what? Father give you the Holy Ghost to them that ask him. You know, you have to be a son or a daughter to ask or to request the infilling of the Holy Ghost. When does sonship come into motion? At repentance. What does Jesus do? At repentance, he baptizes us in the Holy Ghost. He submerges us. And when he's done with that submerging, it lifts off of us, and we cry, Abba, Father. We are a new creature. Amen? All righty. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, so that when we are sons and daughters, now we then can request the Holy Ghost, and God will give you the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's kind of like when you're born again, or a man repents, you have heard the story of the wine skin. You know how they do a wine skin in order to make it flexible, reusable, new? They dip it into oil. They submerge it, and it begins to break down the old fiber and recreate a soft fiber. Now, that wine skin will not be the same shape, because what goes into the wineskin later determines the true shape of the wineskin. So when we do that to the wineskin, it is a symbolism. Now when the wineskin is broke down, reformed, molded, if you fall upon the rock, Jesus will make you. All right, so that is the new creation through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then what happens? Then comes the wine. And it fills the individual. What happens when you fill something full with any type of fluid or liquid? When it's full, doesn't a sound that is not in the liquid itself begin to come out, bubble up, bubble out? That is a sign that when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, there is this inward language that begins to come up out of every believer's life that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go to... Yep, that's where we should go. Man, I tell you, you'd think God would give you the notes here before you ever got up here, so you'd know where he was going. And let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Since you have a wedding or a marriage seminar coming up, we aren't going to talk about husbands, submit yourselves to your wives for long life. And hallelujah. And take it from me, I've been married 52 years. The best way to do is shut up, walk like a shadow, never be seen, never let yourself be heard, and guess what? You will live a long life. If not, you may shorten the one that you have been given. Hallelujah. All right. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Yep, there it is. And it says this. In verse 17, Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So now that tells me that you can be filled with something that you should not be filled with in an excessive way, and that it is contradictory, and its benefits and its fruits and its outcomes are totally opposite when you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Now it says, don't be drunk. Have you ever been drunk? You have? I have. I've been drunk. I've been drunk in both worlds. I've been drunk in the world when I was a sinner, and I've been drunk in the kingdom of God since I've been saved. And each one of them makes me almost uncontrollable by myself. When I got drunk in the world, I saw things that ordinary people, I saw good-looking women that I thought were coming on to me. Then I'd wake up in the morning and see the ugly one I took home. I'd say, Lord Jesus, what did I see? Well, I didn't see correctly. And then I would get drunk and I would talk stupid, dumber than you think I am. I would talk stupid. I'd just babble off about anything. You know, if I sat down at a table with a girl, first thing I did, hey, how you doing? Are you married? No. I'd say, I'm not either. I've been through a divorce and never been married before in my life. I've got 2 kids, I've chose to raise them in the way they should be raised, and, their mother doesn't want them. And I was just crying out, mercy, mercy, give me a mercy date. I was just crying out. That might be why you're not married yet. I'm kidding. And so what would happen? I would act stupid. I mean, one time I woke up in the hospital with bumps all across my head. I said, how did I get them? The guy I was with said, you got out to go to the bathroom and the side of the bank was all wet and all you did was kept slipping and your head kept hitting the running board. I said, well, why didn't you help me? He said, I was too drunk to even care. Well, I woke up in the hospital, all these, you know, tattooed big red knobs over my head. Well, you would talk stupid. You would say things. You'd talk like you were from another world. Well, when we get drunk with the Holy Ghost, we talk like we're from another world. We have a language that confounds the world, and we just talk what they think is a language that cannot be interpreted or understood. Is there anybody in here from another country? Man, you need to get some, like, ethnic. Who in here speaks Spanish? Okay, how about anybody speak French? Not the bad French, the good French. Any? Buddy, I have been in, I don't know how many countries, but I have heard people talk and I have thought to myself, what in the world are they gibbering about? I mean, just, he can hold ya, hey, yeah, 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 yo, howdy, howdy. In one country I went and preached to, it was a gypsy country. And I was praying for the sick and I said, well, has the pain went? They said, no. Man, I had prayed again. I said, okay, how's the pain now? No. You're kidding me. Move that arm. They'd move the arm. I'd say, and you still got pain? No. I said, what is wrong with you? Then the interpreter said, no, no. In our gypsy community here, yes means no, and no means yes. It took me 2 or 3 weeks to get on the right keel. Did God heal you? No. Oh, he did too. I didn't understand him. In Africa, it's like, okay, you do that, that means come to me. And you're trying to get away from them. Every world seems to be a strange language to you and I. But when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, it is a kingdom language. Amen? And believe me, you think that it's gibberish. It's not gibberish. A few years ago, I was in our church. You guys know Dr. Obalu. Yeah, you were there. Okay. He's a Nigerian. So I got up and brought forth a tongue. And my wife said, are you going to interpret? I said, no. I said, there's another interpretation here. And some lady clear on the other side of the sanctuary started interpreting. And so I thought, oh, well, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, then Dr. Obalu, which is one of the leading urologists in the Kettering Hospital Network, he came up to me and said, hey, Pastor, can I talk to you? I said, do you want to complain or anything like that? He said, no. I said, oh, yeah, you can talk to me. And so he come up and he talked to me and said, when you were talking, you were speaking an old dialect out of my section of Nigeria. Now, in the Philippines, about every 3 blocks has about 80 or 90 different languages. Then you go to the next 3 or 4 blocks, they got 700 different dialects. And it's in Kenya, it's in Africa, it's everywhere, except in America. America is the only backward country when it comes to education and bilingual languages. They are at the lowest totem pole. They are the dum-dums of the world. Now, not that we should be, it's just that we are. And so everybody's trying to learn English, and nobody that speaks English in America is trying to learn nothing. Amen. That's the way it is. So when we start speaking with an unknown tongue, it may seem foolish to you. But realize, if I was teaching you another language and you came to preschool and I was trying to teach you Spanish or whatever, you would sound like a child. You would just get syllables. Do you remember when your kids used to go, yeah, and you interpreted that cookie time? I come in the room and say, what? The kid got to go to the bathroom or something. There's something wrong with this kid. But see, you interpret it because you understand their nature, what they want, and how they've been raised and growing. So when we speak in an unknown tongue, it is inspired of God, and it may seem like gibberish to us, but it's not gibberish at all. It is the language of God. It is the language of the kingdom. And so when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, up comes this bubbling language. We may get one bubble, we may get one word, we may get whatever. Don't despise that. Remember, that's how you grew up in this earth, and that's how you're going to grow in the kingdom. One word at a time. And as your faith grows, so will your language. And so don't get discouraged. Say, well, I only got one word. Well, that's one word. Amen? It's better than nothing. Hallelujah. If you was in France, you'd want to know the real meaning of oui, oui. If you had to go to the bathroom. I don't know what bathroom means in French. Besides, yep. I don't know. But, you know, so you'd want to know the real meaning, wouldn't you? All right. So, you start out where you're at. You don't quit. You don't quit. You keep using what you have. Oh, I'm so tired of this word. Are you tired of cookies? No. Then don't get tired of that one word. Keep doing it. You are building your faith. You are building your faith. And then it says here, that we are to be filled with the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, we know how not to be drunk with the world. Don't get interwoven with it. That's in excess. Now, we are in the world. We have to be a part of the world because we are commissioned to win the world. But that doesn't mean that we become overwhelmed by the world. It means that we keep our mind on God. And so then it says this, this is how you stay filled. Now, I know we all like movies, or we all like this, but you know, it does have benefits if you shut the TV off and turn on music or at least scriptures that come through. Amen? If you watch, you let your kids watch, Dungeons and Dragons. I don't even know if that's still on. Whatever, you let them listen to goofy stuff and all that, then you wonder why they're stupid. Maybe you don't wonder, but you know, why is my child acting like this? He's acting the way that he is observing that is acceptable by what you have invited into your home. You know, I'll tell my grandkids, you see that right there? Yeah, Papa, don't ever do that. You're liable to end up in heaven before you want to be there. Paraphrase, I'll wring your neck. You know, you have to watch what your kids are learning, because a lot of us are allowing the world to raise our kids, and we are not involved at all. We got to be involved. Amen? And it says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. In other words, being happy should be a priority in your life. Being happy. What do you think so funny, honey? I said, oh, nothing. Oh, tell me really, what was it? I was just laughing at you. Be happy. Amen? I joke with my wife. She jokes with me. We're happy. People can't stand that. People have told me, I can't take you joking with your wife. And then I've had people try to joke with their wife. I visit them in the hospital. And I said, son, your wife is not Phyllis. And you are not as strong as I am. But look, we want to be happy. You know, everybody that runs around with me, they'll tell you, if you're not kidding with me, if you're not joking around with me, if we're not slap happy, you don't like me. I said, sometimes I do that just to have you think I like you. So don't take it to the bank. But I just love having fun with people. I mean, I want to make somebody's day. I don't want to run into a miserable waitress and me help them get more miserable. Come on, put a smile on your face. Put some money on the table. Amen? That's what you need to do. Get happy. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Are you intimidated by singing or praying in the Holy Ghost in your house? Then make a declaration. I'm going to start acting crazy. Get used to it. And then it says this. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's get refilled. You say, I'm pretty happy. Well, maybe. Ask your wife if you're a happy guy. Ask her. Honey, you think I'm happy? Well, you're boring. Is that what you want? No, I don't want to know if I'm boring. I want to know if I'm happy. No, you're a sad, bored person. Then it's time for me to gear it up. Turn it up. Start it up. Do something. That's why most marriages are boring. Because the people involved in them are boring. I couldn't be married to most people. And most people couldn't be married to me. Till the sun come up or until the bread was done. But I found my princess. And some way she thinks I'm funny. Some way in her perverted view, she thinks I'm good looking. You know, son, you know, she told me the other day, you're a good man. I said, quit lying. The Bible said there's none good but God. She said, you're right. You're a lousy guy. But I got what I asked for. I got the truth. So let's make sure that we get filled with the Holy Ghost. Refilled. You need him. I need him. The world needs him. But he'll not do anything without you. Stretch forth your hand, God. Stretch forth your hand. So everybody lift your hands up towards heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, to fill us. I ask you, God, to renew our passion. I ask you, God, to renew our boldness. I ask you, God, to renew our expectancy, our excitement. Let us revisit the days of our youth when, God, we could not be quiet because of Jesus. That, God, we could not be quiet because somebody did not know. God, that we would sing in the aisles of the grocery store. We would sing, God, in our workplaces. God, we would be grateful. We would pray openly and boldly. God, I asked you tonight to refill us, to visit us, God, to strengthen us, to renew us. Make us, God, filled with the joy of the Lord. That, God, the shackles of this world will begin to fall off. That, God, we will rise up and be the people of God. Stretch forth your hand, O God. And, God, break unbelief. Bring signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Thank you, Father. You are our God. You said that if you were our Father, that we could ask, and God, you would give. Oh, God, in Jesus, Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Praise God. And now, if you'll give a good warm welcome to my friend, Philip Walker. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's be filled. Amen. And let the Holy Ghost just touch us and let him minister to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We just thank you for the night, Lord. We thank you for the word that came forth. We thank you for touching our lives. Amen. And we just declare your goodness, Father God. We just thank you and appreciate it in Jesus' name. Did we have any prayer requests tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wow. What's his name? Charles? Father, we put Charles before you right now, God. And Father, we ask you to touch him in all these situations that are going on, Father. And Lord, we just ask you to loose the working of miracles and healing to flow into Charles right now, Father God, and just to turn this situation around, God. Bring healing to him, God, so that he can come out of that hospital and he can live life. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go ahead. And at this time, we're going to give you an opportunity to sow into Pastor Dosik and into the ministry that he has. And where are you going next, Pastor? Mexico City, praise God. And he goes all around the world and preaches and believes God for miracles and goodness. And so tonight, I'm just going to give you a chance to take up an offering in this regards. And it'll be sown into the ministry, and we're just going to put it before God and ask him to bless it. Amen. And so we're going to have Roger bring the buckets up. And Father, we pray over this offering right now, Father. And Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we pray, God, that everything that would come into this offering, God, would go forth through the kingdom, would go forth through the word of God, would bring souls to the kingdom, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Bring your offering to the front. Hallelujah. And after this, we're all going to be dismissed, but I'm going to ask you to stay and help put some tables out tonight. Praise God. We'd like to put tables and chairs out in the foyer, so we hope you could stay and help us do that. And we thank you for being here tonight, and we just declare the goodness of God, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Amen. Praise God.